You are listening to Tony Alamo, Christian Ministries Worldwide. Stay tuned at the end of the program for address, phone number, and website information so you can reach Tony Alamo Christian Ministries on radio and now streaming worldwide on the World Wide Web 11 hours daily. And now, with today's message, here's Tony Alamo.
Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Romans, the New Testament, chapter 13, and there are 14 verses in this chapter, and we have translation and commentary. Then also, we're on part 9 of knowing who you are, knowing really if you are truly saved. And there may be one fact or more that you didn't know about, that you need to know so that you can really know that you're saved and that you're ascended with Christ sitting in heavenly places and that you're reigning with him and partaking in spiritual warfare, because all these aspects of salvation must be intact before we have reached the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have a letter from Africa and another one from India. And let's all go to the throne of the Lord now to ask him and to be assured, because we are now able, because we're sons of God, those of us that are saved and those of you out there that are about to be saved, we can go to the throne of the Lord, those of you who are not saved, and ask the Lord to come into your heart right now and be saved and washing in his precious blood so that you can really understand the messages a lot better. Once the Spirit of God is in you, you'll understand that the message is much better, and they'll minister to you a lot better. Now, Father, we thank and praise you for opening up the doors of radio stations and the website, the internet, and all the other doors that you continuously open up. And the doors that you open up for all the people that are in the highways and hedges, your people that are compelling people or telling them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because you, with the Father by the Spirit, are living in us. And when people are hearing this tape, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Because the Word of God is at hand, and God is the Word. Jesus, the Bible says, is the Word of God. So realize, everyone out there in Radio Land, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Lord stated that he instructed all of his disciples then and now to go into all the nations of the world and speak to every tongue, every kindred, every nationality, and explain to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand because you're in us. And preach the truth, the Word of God, and it'll make the most vile sinner completely clean and turn them from robbers into evangelists, rapists into evangelists, murderers, and turn them into evangelists. The trouble with the world today is that it's the world, and it's not the realm of heaven. The trouble with people today is that they are so depressed that they're committing suicide, and they're begging people to help kill them, and they're so despondent. And you women out there, women, most of them over 40 years old, and you're in the world, nobody, I mean, it's like people say that you're over the hill. I don't say that, but you're over the hill if you're 10 years old and you're not saved. But a woman that's in the gospel field, that's in the body of Christ, these are the most sought-after women in the world, because it doesn't make any difference how old they get. People love them. And they are not at all considered over the hill. They're considered precious. And the ladies of women of the living God. And people seek to marry them. And so those of you that are out in the world, and you You just say, all these men out here, are all they're out for is one thing, or they're out here for another thing. Get your soul saved and get into the church, and you'll see the respect that you'll get. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. Yeah, we have women in this church that are way up in the years, and people that were in the church years old requested to get married to them, and they did marry them, and they have a very happy life, and they're not considered over the hill at all. We're not growing older at all in the Lord. We're just getting closer to home. Amen? Amen. Our home is not here in this world. This is not our home. This is the kingdom of heaven is ours, and kingdom of heaven is coming down to earth, and the Lord wants us to tell people that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and that the kingdom of heaven is not seen. It can't you cannot observe it, but the kingdom of heaven is within. And so if you receive the word, which is God, the kingdom of heaven will be in you. And people won't be able to see it, but they'll be able to see you as you grow in the fullness of the stature of Christ, to where they can tell that God is truly with you, and that you are and are willingly controlled by the Holy Spirit. You're going to be controlled by one spirit or the other, either the spirit of God or the spirit of Satan. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. You're either on the Lord's side or on Satan's side. If you make a decision for Christ, you're saying that you want to go to heaven. If you say, wait a while, you've already made a decision to go to hell. And you don't know when that might happen. And so you're making a decision for the netherworld to be with Satan. So, Father God, so we're asking the Father to open up your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit, and let the Lord come in, the Lord of glory. He's the Lord of glory, and he'll cleanse you and give you power and dominion and give you something to live for, and everything to live for, and everything to die for. And of course, when you're saved and you're in the spiritual realm, you never die, because you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. And the second that your spirit leaves your body, you're right there. It's like getting out of an old jalopy and getting into something that is finer than a Rolls Royce. You just leave this earth and you go into a everlasting place, a paradise that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered the heart of men, the beautiful things that God has laid away for those that love him and keep his commandments. Lord God, let them receive you today, or this evening, or this morning, whenever they're listening to this tape. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now go ahead. Where's the first letter from, Michelle?
From Ghana, Africa.
All right.
Dear Pastor Lomo, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I have to give thanks to you and your ministry for what you have done for me and my friends. To set the ball rolling, please, Pastor Lomo, we were three friends, and our work was armed robbery. We always stood by the roadside to collect people's money, especially the travelers. One day we were going home and we saw a car coming, and we decided to stop the car, and we were collecting their money. There was a schoolboy in the car holding some books, so we decided to collect the books from the boy. One book was the Messiah according to Bible prophecy, and the other one was the World Newsletter. So when we reached home, we decided to read the books. So at long round, we decided to come together and said, why don't we stop the dirty work that we are doing and go around to preach the Word of God to people? And all my friends agreed. Please, Pastor Lomo, God bless you for what you are doing. This book has let us come to the Word of God, so please continue. We have now repented from our sins. Please, Pastor Lomo, we want you to send us three holy Bibles and other books, especially the Messiah according to Bible prophecy, and other books. Try to reply soon. God bless you all. Your friend in Christ, C.O. from Brangahafo, Ghana, Africa.
All right. Well, I know that our mailing room has already sent this because they know to do that instantly. And make sure that if you haven't sent them all the literature, make sure to send them all the recent literature, the last 24 pieces of literature that I've written. And then after they receive that for a while, another batch, 24 more different kinds, and see if they want to distribute them. It sounds like they do. Okay, and then where's the next letter from?
From Andhra Pradesh, India.
Okay.
Dear beloved brother, Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your great book, The Messiah, as well as the newsletters I receive with great joy. I was very much encouraged by your sound doctrine, which has truly inspired me. We carried out gospel literature distribution in our area, as well as in tribal remote areas of Vizian Agaram in Orissa area. I am Pastor Isaac, President of Rural Area and Tribal Remote Areas, doing gospel work. I am called by God through the words in Isaiah 61:1-3 to preach the word of God. I completely stand on these words to do the gospel till my last breath. In 1991, through God's words, I started doing gospel work in most tribal areas who never knew about God. The people don't even wear clothes and have leaves on their bodies. I distributed tracts in these areas. Traveling sources aren't available. Every day I used to walk about 40 kilometers. Many of them became believers of God, and God has done many miracles in their lives. Worship is going on in prayer sheds in these remote areas. The living conditions of these people are poor, as stated they were. The children are uneducated, lack proper food and clothes. Through faith in God, I have independently started a children's orphanage in a rented building. This orphanage is running through the mercy of God through offerings in the churches. We distribute your literature to the needed areas where there is no gospel, so that many people have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Some people came forward to take baptism also. Our team is reaching the villages, conducting street gospel preaching, distributing literature, conducting remote area gospel meetings. Please, I kindly need your prayer support now and forever. I praise God for you. God has revealed His word for the blessings of perishing souls worldwide. Please send some more Messiah books and newsletters to be distributed in needed areas. We pray for your activities. We kindly request you to pray for our activities and to bring many more souls to Christ. Do cooperate with us in your prayers. We are glad that we met such a ministry that is preaching the Word of God. We are interested to do gospel work through your ministry also. Yours in Christ, Pastor J.I. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
These are wonderful testimonies. Three robbers that just robbing people of their money, and now they're out witnessing and testifying, and now this pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so thank you very much, Michelle and Sharon. Do you want to come forward now and start reading from chapter 13 of Romans?
Have respect for authority. King James Version, verse 1.
You have to have respect for authority, for sure, because they... If you don't, then you're never going to have authority. Because good leaders always are good followers. Jesus followed to the T, even to the death of the cross, and therefore he was the world's greatest leader. And why? Because he had God in him. But if you're born again of the Spirit, you have God in you as well. And so you should be able to. It's for sure. You are also a good leader if you want to be. And if you don't, then you're disobedient and you're a witch, according to Scripture. Okay, then what?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God.
Okay, so sometimes God puts secular power. Now, we know that the power of God are the ministers of God, not secular powers. But sometimes God puts secular power over people. This is historically true. Like he put the Hebrew children under Nebuchadnezzar, and the Hebrew children were also under Pharaoh for a long time, a good Pharaoh, during Joseph's time. And then they started acting up, and there was a bad Pharaoh, an evil one. And God has placed his children, his people, under authorities that are evil because they did not want to serve the Lord and worship Him. And so we, whatever environment that we're involved in, we have to obey their rules so long as they don't conflict with God's rules. Like even Daniel and the three Hebrew children, they made strong stands. They didn't do everything the government, the evil government, was telling them to do, did they?
No.
No. But yet they were still under the jurisdiction. They had duties that they had to do. And so we're not under the authority of we're under the authority of God, and yet we're living in an area of the world, and everybody is, where we have this new world order, one world government. It's the satanic government, and you just have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. We cannot rise up or to take carnal weapons and fight them, but we have to, as the Bible says, we have to live in peace as much as possible and with them. But with God, we have perfect peace and a sound mind when our minds are stayed upon Him. So you always have to remember, the Bible says, to agree with the adversary quickly. And I brought testimonies on that where I was placed in prison for false charges. They said that I didn't pay, it was an income tax thing that they just contrived up and got a bunch of false witnesses. But anyway, I went to prison for 4 years for the gospel's sake. That's what it was I was uncovering the different evils of the government and some of the people in the government. And so they just fabricated a bunch of stories about me. Well, while in there, I was standing in line waiting for about an hour and a half to be on the phone, and one of the guards told me, come on and get some ice for the people here in the hole, which is the SHU, the special housing unit, they call it, the shoe. And so immediately I left because I agreed with him. I didn't say, like a lot of other people in prison said, well, hey, I've been standing here for an hour and a half and it's my turn on the phone next, and why don't you choose one of these guys at the end of the line? I just said, yes, sir. And I immediately walked away from it and got the ice, and I saw the countenance of that guard. He knew what he was doing. And when I agreed, immediately he felt so ashamed, it was unbelievable. And some of the inmates in the line says, Tony, do you want us to help you? I said, no, I can get it. Don't worry about it. So I went, I had this big cart, and I took it over to the ice machine and started filling it up full of ice. And then I took it over to the special housing unit, which was just a few steps away from the actual phones. And the guard let me in there, and I pushed the cart. And he says, then he came out and said to all the guys in line, hey, Tony's next. All you guys back off. He was next in line. He knew. See, right there, it came out of his mouth. And I just did what the Lord said. Agree with the adversary quickly. Amen?
Amen.
And that was such a testimony that I can tell that that just crushed that man's soul to the point to where I'm sure that he believed everything in the literature that I had written. The people that are in government know they're evil, and they know, but they are waiting. They're groaning to see somebody that's of the Lord, that really obeys the Lord. So if you say, well, I'm of the Lord and I'm not going to observe speeding rules, which are very good. You can't go past X amount of miles an hour, 30 miles or something like that in a school district. When you see a school bus, the law is that you got to stop behind the school bus. You have to get a license to drive, and you can't, you have to have licenses to do all the different things, and you go along with that. But if they tell you to worship some other god or join, or that you can't be against homosexuality or something like this, is crossing the line. And you don't go for things like that. And so many people haven't the foggiest idea on how to rightly divide the word. And this is why, when we're talking about authority, there is secular authority that we have to pay attention to in regard to the law that are not against God's law. But the main authority, because there's no authority but of God, if we have a secular authority here, and we do, it's of God. God, you know, he could crush it immediately, so he's allowing it to happen. He's creating an environment to keep everyone that is supposed to be a Christian, and even the ones that are Christians, on their toes. Because if we don't do what he says, he'll turn them loose on us. Amen?
Amen.
And then you'll be sorry. But if you do everything the Lord says, and he will not turn them loose on you, there'll be a wall of fire running about you. And you say, well, you went to prison, there must have been... Well, so did Jesus go to prison, and so did Paul, and so did all the disciples, and Peter. Don't you remember the angel came and slapped him on the side and opened up the gates? So, you know, I went there, but I'm not there anymore, and I'm preaching the gospel. And I'm all over the world now with the gospel. And so, you know, that didn't bother me. I got to win a lot of souls in prison. The Lord let me in there because there was a lot of people in prison that would never have heard the gospel had I not been there, because people are not as strong to preach the gospel as I am. Now, there's many people that come to visit, and they say they're preaching the full gospel, but I didn't see them. And they all the ones that I ran into in prison said they'd never heard the full gospel before I was there. And I get that from so many other people throughout the world. Okay, so read that authority bit again.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God.
Yes, they are. Even like, for instance, there was the children of Israel would not go in and get rid of the giants in the Canaan land, and so God made them stay out on the desert for 40 years, out on the wilderness, rather. And then he chased the, he sent some of his servants, his authorities over the giants, little insects that chased the giants out of the Holy Land to show how much power those giants had. They were little hornets, the Bible said. And then he has used locusts to devour people and to punish them, all their crops. And there's a new thing that's happening with the crops all over the world today. It's a new bug. They say it's from China. I watch the Farm Channel, and they are afraid that it's going to cause a tremendous worldwide famine. And that's part of the predictions of the end of the world. And they're trying to come up with some kind of pesticides. There's also this flu that's coming from China that could possibly, they say, wipe out 20% of the world population, 1.2 billion people. And so, you know, we have to live right with the Lord so that these things don't we don't fall into these things, and that they don't take us out. Okay, so God has all kinds of authorities. He creates all kinds of environments for the wicked people, and he creates really nice environments for the people that love the Lord and are obedient to him. Okay, now read that again.
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers.
Let everybody, every human being that's alive is a soul. And he's saying, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God.
See, even Daniel and Isaiah and all those people, Jeremiah, they went willingly and subjected themselves under a wicked power. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God said to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Because of their sins. They did not observe the Sabbath. Okay, so they had to spend many Sabbaths there in Babylon. All right, then what else?
And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
So if you come against it, like David did not, or Daniel did not come against them, and either did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But when they said you have to bow down before the golden idol, they says, no, throw us, don't, we're not hesitating to throw us into the fire, because that we're not going to do. We're not going to go against God, no matter what you say. We know the rules and regulations of the Bible, and we're not going to keep, we're not going to disobey him, no matter what. You kill us if you like, but you're not going to get us to disobey God. We'll keep your speeding rules. We'll keep, you know, all that. But don't try to get us to disobey God. All right, then what?
Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Now, the power that they're talking about here, that Paul is talking about here, is the real power. We still, those of us that are ordained by the Lord, that are the ministers of God. And so we are over even the secular powers. Completely. These rulers in the Old Testament, they listened to the godly rulers. They always would call them into privately and ask them, what does God say? Tell us what God says. The rulers today, they don't know who to ask anymore. But they have asked me certain questions. Like, for instance, I got about, I think how many emails it was from President Bush asking me what my opinion would be in regard to causing peace to come about in the Middle East. And so God gave me a piece of literature, and I called it Peace in the Middle East. You can order it. It's free of charge. All my literature is free of charge, and so are the Bibles. But, so, in that respect, I'd say President Bush, the younger one, I pray that they'll even ask me more questions, and that they'll respond favorably to the things that the Lord is telling me to tell them. All right, then what?
Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
So, see, if you do good, the things of the Lord, which is good, you'll not get any praise from secular authority. So, right here, it's not talking about secular authority or evil powers that God has put over evil, wicked people. He's talking about we pastors, prophets, evangelists, ministers, all right? Right here, he's doing that. So he's saying that you need to fear those of us that are definitely chosen by the Lord. Then what?
Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good.
See, right there, he's the minister of God to thee for good. Go ahead.
But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid.
You can do all kinds of evil. The people that are high up in government are the ones that are doing more evil than anybody I know. But they're not afraid of God. They just keep doing that. And so, if you keep doing evil, be afraid of those of us. Because we're going to pray that God will save your soul. And if you don't get saved, God's going to pour coals of fire on your head. And so be afraid that we'll pray for you to be saved. And you reject. Now, if we pray for you to be saved, that's wonderful. But it's wonderful if you reject, because God is going to send coals of fire, some kind of horrible tribulation on you, and you're not going to like it. Like I prayed for President Clinton because he wrote some derogatory things about my deceased wife, Sue, and myself in his new book. And so I prayed, God, have mercy on him. Let him get saved. Let him become born again. And immediately after that, he had all these bypasses that he had. And then he still didn't repent, and so they had to take him back in again. and take care of his heart. There was water on his heart or something. And I'm saying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, before you take his life, let him get right with you. Because he's as far in darkness as I was before I was saved, and you saved me, Lord. So you could get former President Clinton, and you could get President Bush, and former President Bush, and all the other former presidents that are still alive. Lord, we don't want to see him go to hell. Now, see, I pray for them, and you should too. I mean, you must. It's a commandment. And let God take care of them. If they repent, then that's wonderful. Then they become our friends and our brothers, and their wives our sisters. But if they don't, they're in big trouble with the Lord, because we're having mercy on them as the Lord commands for us to do. And we pray for all the sinners in the world. And so we're not against Catholics. We're against the doctrine, yes. And the things that they've done in the past, the things they're doing to people. But not Catholics per se. I would say at least two-thirds of our congregation are former Catholics. We love them. We love their souls, because that's why we preach to them. I wouldn't preach to people that I hated. I'm trying to win their souls. I'm trying to get them into the body of Christ so that they can be spent eternity with the Lord, with us, all of us saved people. All right, then what?
But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain.
See, he beareth not the sword, the word of God, in vain. So that's talking about not secular leaders, that's talking about us, those of us that are spiritual leaders. We are over the entire earth, because God has put us, we are God's true authority. Now, just as Isaiah and Daniel were in their days, but they were put under in a situation because of the sins of the other Jews. But yet God and Joseph himself, and Joseph wound up running the whole country and saved the entire country by the visions that he translated, or that he sought God to find out what the visions meant, and he was able to save all the people in that region of the world by growing corn abundantly and storing it for 7 years. And then so that there would be enough of the corn to feed all the people in that part of the world for the next 7 years of famine. And people need, I mean, I don't care, secular leaders, you need somebody like myself to tell you what's happening. Because, you know, unless, if you're not really born of the Spirit, and I know that you're not, but if some of you are, that's wonderful. But some of you are not born again of the Spirit. You need someone like myself to tell you what the Lord is saying, to give you guidance, and to make you prosperous, and to cause your soul to be saved, and hundreds of millions of others, and to stop killing, and let God do the killing. He's going to kill plenty. These plagues are not coming from anyone other than God. The entire crops of soybean are in danger. You people out there, turn to that farm channel. I forget the name of it, the rural farm something. But anyway, you'll find it on the in your TV guide, and it tells you all the different problems that they're trying to come up with pesticides to save the food so that cattle can be fed. If there's no feed for cattle, then they're all going to die, and you're not going to have meat products and chickens. And if all the crops are gone, then you won't have any vegetables. And there's all kinds of blight and fungus and all sorts of things that are threatening the world's food source and also the health of people. And the Lord predicted these things. So get right with the Lord and you won't have to worry about any of those things. We'll always have food, those of us that are saved, and we'll always have good health. All right, then what?
for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil.
Right, so we execute wrath. How do we execute wrath? Because all we have to do is pray to God in heaven, Lord, we ask that you bind this person here on earth and these evil things here on earth. And when we do that, the Bible says that they will be bound in heaven. And then we can say, Lord, loose your children here on earth and open doors for them, and the Lord will cause them to be loosed in the kingdom of heaven as well. Amen? So Amen. These are tremendous, magnificent promises of the Lord. His word is true. His promises are true. So you listen to me and other ministers that are preaching the full truth, because we are the authority of God. The authorities. Then,
verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay ye tribute also.
Pay ye tribute, in other words, give tithes and offering. If you don't do that, well, you're disobedient, and the word of God's not going to get out much as it would. God knows I'm trying, you know, to tell you. And God knows if you're disobedient that you are, and we pray for your soul. And God will spare you, and that he'll bring the light, shine his light into your soul. But you can see all these letters that we get that people need, and they need more and more. But God's going to give us the finances to help these people one way, because we work. Okay, and whatever we have, we'll give them, and if we can't give it everything that they need, well, God knows all about it. We tried. Then what else? And we're not only trying, we're doing it so far. Then what?
For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing.
Well, do you think that these people in secular government are God's ministers? No, they are not. He uses them to execute wrath or to evil against people that don't want to serve the Lord. But that isn't his ministers. They're just ministers of evil. But the Bible here says that these are the ministers of good. And we will not do anything. We won't rebuke or reprove you or pray that God will do something to you if you are doing good. Only if you're doing evil will we have to pray, say, Father, my God, look at the evil they're doing, and they're causing all this disruption on earth and causing people to fall away from God. And so we're going to pray about you to God. And God knows how to take care of you. He's taking care of the entire world. These famines that threaten us are worldwide. And these pestilences, these diseases, these infirmities, these sicknesses, these flus, these viruses are all worldwide. It isn't something that's local in your community. It's everywhere. Right, then what?
Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Translation, verse 1 through 7. Have respect for authority. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Bracket. Now secular government is the lower powers. And bracket. For there is no power with the exception of the power of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Bracket. So what God is saying through Paul is that the power that is secular is no power at all, because there is no power but of God. God does not ordain the evil that the secular powers do. So the powers that be are the ones that are ordained of God, and God does not ordain the things that they are doing today. And bracket.
But you see, so many false versions of the Bible that say that the secular powers are the powers that be of God. Those people are false prophets. All they are, most of them are like, especially presidents, are usually former attorneys. And we all know what attorneys, a lot of attorneys are, most attorneys. Jesus said that they, woe to you attorneys. He said, you're lying to the people. You tell them that you're going to do a big job for them, and you make it look like they're going to wind up in prison for the rest of their lives if you don't hire them. And then you hire them, you give them the money, and they don't do anything for you. They go out and play golf. And all of a sudden they become presidents because they are able to lie so much that and the people believe them. They know how to lie so well that they convince people to vote for them. So this is the secular power. But the Lord's talking about in this chapter the people like myself, the godly authorities. And you can put us in prison or any place you want, but we're still the authorities over everybody. Just as Isaiah, Daniel, threw them all in prison too. But it doesn't make any difference. They were still the authorities. So was Joseph. So was Moses. So it was the Apostle Paul and Peter. And Jesus was the chief authority ever. And he's in us with the Father by the Spirit. And so you're commanded to obey God, not secularism. Then what?
Verse 2, whosoever resisteth God's power, bracket the only power, and bracket, is the one that is resisting the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Okay, don't read the brackets anymore.
Okay. Verse 3, so the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power?
Okay, the Lord, just like you're supposed to fear God, you're supposed to fear those that God is living in. Because God's in them. And if you don't believe that, then you're calling God a liar. Now, if God was living in Christ, you should fear him and keep his commandments. Now, if God in Jesus is living in us by the Holy Spirit, then the Bible here says that you're supposed to fear us. And I don't mind if you fear me. No. Because I'm telling you the truth. Fear what I'm saying is what it means. And in other words, to do what I'm saying. Because I'm not telling you to do anything other than what the Lord tells me to tell you. And I can substantiate everything I'm saying from the Word of God. Just as we are right now in the 13th chapter of Romans. Now believe what the Bible said, what God's Word said. The Word of God is God. Now receive it and live. I'm doing you a favor according to the Bible. If it gets you into heaven, is that not a favor? Okay, then what else?
Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for the minister bears not the word of God in vain. For the pastor is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. Verse 5.
Yeah, I tell all the different presidents for years now the evil that they're doing. And so in essence, I was telling, executing wrath on them, telling them what they're doing wrong, and that if they don't repent, God's going to send their soul to hell in the lake of fire. So that puts me in charge. It's not me, though. It's the God, the Christ, the Holy Spirit in me that is in charge, all right? But I'm the vessel that he's working in and through. And he wants not only to use me, there are others. There are others that he is using. And you can hear these new babes that are being saved, and some of these old-timers, these pastors from all over the world that are saying, amen to what you're doing, and we're saying the same thing. So we know that I'm not the only one. But there's others, and you could be one of them yourself. But the Lord has got me. He's given me a gift here of teaching. And it says some teacher, some preacher, and he gives me the gift of being a pastor. And if you and an evangelist, a preacher, a teacher, and a scribe, I write also. So let's go.
Wherefore you must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Verse 6, for this cause pay your tithes and offerings to these people, for they are God's ministers, and they attend continually upon this very thing. Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. King James Version, verse 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. verse 9, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
In other words, it says, oh, no man anything. Don't be having sex with somebody's wife. Don't be lusted after, because then you have committed sin. Don't covet what they have, because that's you're owing them then. And the Lord sees that, and you're going to be horribly punished for it. Severely punished. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor.
No, if you keep the commandments of the Lord, it's not going to do anything bad to your neighbor. Because, you know, like if a person, if you don't commit adultery with some man's wife, you didn't do him any evil. If you didn't steal anything from him, you didn't do any evil. If you didn't commit a fornication with his daughters or anyone in his family, you didn't do him any evil. If you didn't steal anything from him, if you didn't rob him, or if you didn't covet anything of his. So, and if you treated him just like you would like to be treated yourself. If you were married, would you like somebody to commit adultery with your wife? Would you?
No.
Would you like to see him lusting after him?
No.
No. You'd probably want to, if you were secular, mash their mouth or slap their head. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
But really, they're the ones that are going to get hurt. You know, if you've got a good wife, a Christian wife, she's not going to pay any attention to them. But they have put themselves in the fire. They've placed their own selves in the fire. But the Lord says to love one another. That means keep the commandments. You're not going to murder somebody, are you? You wouldn't murder somebody you love, would you? Nowadays, they've got people believing that you're doing them a favor if you murder them if they're a little bit sick, or even if they're horribly sick. Oh, that's not doing anybody any favor. You should be praying for them that they'll get healed, because the Lord has already healed them. All right, then what?
Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 13, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying."
You know, if you believe that you're saved, you know you're saved, you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, you never get depressed, because you know you're saved. And you know you've got the kingdom of heaven, and you know that you're not going to be here long. We're like vapors, grass, or shadows. We're just here for a little while. Go ahead.
Verse 14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof."
Yeah, always have the vision that you're sitting with Christ in heavenly places, and any kind of temptation that comes, when you're being tempted, just get up there and just remember that you're sitting with him there, and the temptation will lose its power completely. Trust me on this one. Okay, then what?
Love, or the keeping of the commandments of the Lord, fulfills God's requirements. Verse 8 through 14. "Pay all your debts. Accept the debt of love for others. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill all the requirements of God's law." Verse 9. "For the commandments against adultery and murder and stealing and coveting and any other commandment are all summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 10. "Love does no wrong to anyone, so love satisfies all of God's requirements." Verse 11. "Another reason for right living according to the word of God is that you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Verse 12. "The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here, so don't live in darkness. Get rid of your evil deeds. Shed them like dirty clothes. Clothe yourselves with the armor of right living as those who live in the light.
Well, how can you do that? You have to be ascended with Christ in order to achieve that. In the Spirit and in the heavens with the Lord, sitting there at all times, receiving your orders from Him, and fighting spiritual war, reigning with the Lord over your own body, your own mind, your own spirit, your soul, your lusts, you're reigning over them, and therefore you're fighting spiritual warfare. Then what?
Verse 13, we must be decent and true in everything we do so that everyone can approve of our behavior.
And how can we do that? You're sitting with Christ in heavenly places. That's how. You're in the Spirit. The Spirit mortifies, kills all these desires. Then what?
We are not to participate with parties or getting drunk or in adultery and inordinate, immoral living or in fighting or in jealousy. Verse 14, and let the Lord Jesus Christ take control of you and don't think of any way to rebel into your evil desires.
All right, so that was the 14 verses and of 13, chapter 13, Romans, and now commentary.
Progress and receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ can take place only as we learn to love others. Now, love is the keeping of God's commandments. Love is not only an emotion we feel. It is an attitude and outpouring of ourselves of unselfish concern for others. If we love God, we keep His commandments, and we love the people around us. We will treat others with respect. We would never steal from anyone or harm anyone in any way. If you loved your brother as your own self, you would never commit adultery with them. You would never murder them. You would never hurt them. You would never steal from them or do anything contrary to the Word of God to satisfy our own selfish desires. As we continue to take regular personal inventory of ourselves, we can keep God's commandments. We can use them as the standard by which we judge our behavior. We need to judge ourselves first with the Word of God first before we judge others with the Word of God. Do we act with the best interest of others, preferring others before ourselves in mind? If we measure all our efforts against God's standards of keeping God's commandments, which is love, we will experience great progress in growing to the fullness of the stature of Christ and in our relationships with the Lord and others. When we turn our life over to God, we are given a new life. We have a new identity. We're new creatures. We become children of God, the sons of God, children of light. People who live in the light are the sons of God, and people who live in the light are awake. The light of God's Word, they're awake to God's Word. Their eyes are open. They are not in the dark of what the Lord likes or dislikes. They have the ability to see and admit the truth about themselves. And one way to make sure we are walking in the light is to take regular moral inventory of ourselves by reading the Word of the Lord. This will help us shed our old life and keep that old man of ours nailed to the cross and keep ourselves resurrected from our dead selves and ascended with Christ, seated with Him in heavenly places, and keep us ruling with Him, ruling first ourselves and also fighting spiritual warfare with ourselves, satanic things about ourselves first, so that we become decent and true in everything that we do. 13 verse 1 through 7. Paul exhorts his leaders to fulfill the duties to the Lord. Now the false prophets say, quote, to the state, the secular government, unquote, but it clearly says that it is the government of God. 13 verse 1. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. See also Daniel chapter 4 verse 32, Psalm chapter 75 verse 6 through 7. Paul never approves a corrupt government or ungodly officials or unjust legislation, but he's talking about the government of the Lord, the structure of the church. But sometimes in punishment for the sins of the people or for other reasons known to him, God allows evil rulers to have authority for a time, as the Old Testament prophets frequently testify. Ideally, God grants authority to serve good ends. Verses 3 through 4. How that authority is exercised will be the accounting of each to whom it has been given. If the authority in the church often says that these are God's ministers, and if God has given the power to the Vatican to persecute the people who will not obey God or to secular government, well, then God allows them to have that power. So they are, in fact, ministers from God.
But this also is, the Bible plainly tells us also that they will persecute us, and that's what they've been doing, the people of the Lord. They will call us a cult, they'll call us, slave labor camps, they'll call us mind controllers, brainwashers, when in fact they're the ones that are all these. And of course they have to throw rotten tomatoes and throw mud on the people of the Lord, because we're exposing them, and there's no other recourse for them. See, we can't lie. When we're telling you something about them, it's the truth. But they have one advantage over us that we don't have, and that's they can lie. And they really get it going. And they've got the media all tied up, and the government, and so they can enforce their lies. Then what?
13 verse 5. Paul gives two reasons why Christians must obey his government. One, because
of God's government. Yeah, then what?
One, because of wrath, that is, to avoid the punishment that government executes on those who do not obey. Verse 4. And two, for conscience' sake, that is, because we want to keep a clear conscience before God, who has established government and commands us to obey it. This second reason means that even when there is no likelihood of arrest or punishment, Christians must be fully obedient to government. Now, Daniel and the Hebrew children were obedient to government until the government told them that they had to bow down before the golden calf, or that they had to pray to it. But they disobeyed, and they were righteous in disobeying that government. And it's the same thing today. You know what the law of God says, and you know that we're to obey it. And you know that you're not to obey the bad laws of the government structure that we're living in today. But we are, if they tell you to go get a tray full of ice, like they told me in prison when I was next in line, when I was in prison for righteousness' sake, the Lord says to do it, and I did. And that caused the guard to be extremely under conviction and told everybody that I was next in line on the phone. 13 verse 7. Both Paul and Jesus direct Christians to pay taxes to the Roman government, which was certainly not pure or righteous in all its actions. As with all commands of God, we must obey them all joyfully, not grudgingly. Whenever we tend to become discouraged with the imperfections of our government or the burden of taxation that it imposes upon us, we would do well to remember that the alternative, anarchy, is far worse. See Judges 17 through chapter 21. 13 verse 8. Owe no one anything. You know the Lord says to agree with the adversary quickly. So that's a commandment, and that's God's government. So if a government official that is evil tells you to go get ice or do this immediately, and you're doing something else, agree with him immediately. Do it unless he's telling you to sin, and then don't do that.
A lot of people are out distributing literature, and some police officer tells them, you go someplace else. You can't do that here. This is private property or something like that. And they'll say, but we're here from the Lord and so on and so on. Go when they tell you. Go somewhere else, all right? There's plenty of souls in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And then when they're not there, I mean, if there's no, or there might be a good police officer there that wants to get the gospel out, then you can go there and do it. Okay, then what else?
The Greek present tense of the prohibition.
Say that again, the Greek one.
The Greek present tense of the prohibition may be translated, quote, don't continue owing anything to anybody, unquote. This section of Scripture does not pertain to all debt, but it certainly forbids an attitude of contentment with indebtedness, or thinking that indebtedness is a normal situation. See Psalm 37, verse 21. He who loves another has fulfilled the law. If we truly understand and completely follow the command to love one another, we would fulfill every social treaty and especially observe those commandments that are most fundamental in human relations. Verse 9. 13, verse 9. Summed up, love is the summary, the bottom line of God's moral laws. Yet a summary should not be used to contradict one of the items. It is summarizing. Therefore, to say that love for another requires one to break some of God's laws from time to time, as in a situation of ethics, is a misunderstanding of the Scripture. It is not only a misunderstanding, it is heresy. 13 verse 11 through 12. Paul emphasizes a high standard of moral conduct, particularly in view of the nearness of the Lord's return, when our salvation will be consummated. Verses 11 through 12. The way to moral excellence is twofold. Verse 14. Positively, we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole Word of God, submitting to His Lordship, His will, accepting His moral standards, accepting Him into us, so that we are able to keep the moral standards, living in constant fellowship with Him and depending upon His strength. Negatively, we are to make no provision for the flesh, doing nothing to foster its sensual desires and appetites. See Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 25.
All right, yeah, the Lord cannot trust anyone that cannot fast or abstain from the things that He tells you to abstain from. He can't trust you, He never will, and He'll never allow you to be one of His kings. All right, now we have knowing who you are, knowing where you're at, knowing that you're in the, knowing the ascension. And this is part 9, so go right ahead, let's get right into it.
The experience of the ascension. We obtain the...
Yeah, there's an experience. You can experience the ascension. People like to experience going to Disneyland. If they didn't like the experience of it, they wouldn't go. They like the experience of going to Hollywood, California, to go before Man's Chinese Theater and Pantages and all the different places there. They want to see Hollywood Boulevard. They want to see Hollywood and Vine because it's so famous. They like to go down Sunset Boulevard, and they want to experience the beach. But if you're saved and you want to go to heaven, you need to know the experience of the ascension, of sitting in the kingdom of heaven with Christ in heavenly places. Okay, then what?
We obtain the position of ascension the very second moment that we are born again of the Spirit. But you may ask, well, how can you know the ascension? Or are you able to experience the ascension?
How can you know that you're really there? Because a lot of people, they never feel anything spiritual. So how are you able to know that? Okay, then what?
Simply speaking, the experience of ascension is the outcome of your experiencing the death on the cross with the Lord, the resurrection through the death on the cross. Even as the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to the heavenly places through death and resurrection, it's the same way with us. So also we are able to experience the ascension through the death and resurrection, the death on the cross, where our old man is nailed there, and the Spirit of God that enters into us at resurrection. Again, we obtain that position of ascension the very moment that we are saved. Now let's go back into history and think about the history of the Israelites entering the Promised Land, the land of Canaan, Canaan land. The moment they left the wilderness and crossed the River Jordan, they entered Canaan, the land of milk and honey. Canaan land symbolized everything of Christ in the heavenlies. Everything is provided for us in Canaan land, but we have to fight for it first. We have to fight spiritually, that is.
So when they got into Canaan land, they were there. It was the symbolic of sitting with Christ in heavenly places. Canaan land here on earth is Israel, and the kingdom of heaven is the land of promise. Amen?
Amen.
It's the spiritual, it's Canaan land. And so therefore, but we have to fight to get there, because every devil in hell is going to try to prevent us from going there. And when the brethren went into, they crossed Jordan, when it entered into Canaan land, they had to fight all these different battles. They had to defeat these people in order to occupy the land. in order for us to occupy the kingdom of heaven, we have to protect our soul, to defend the gospel. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Then what?
At the same time, it is also typical, or a figure, a symbol, a type of the heavenly realm. Therefore, when the Israelites entered Canaan, symbolically, they entered the heavenly realm, which Canaan land is just symbolic, here on earth, of the kingdom of heaven. When they crossed the Jordan River, they buried 12 stones at the bottom of the river, signifying their death and burial. After that, they removed the 12 stones from the bottom of the river, which was symbolic of their resurrection. They brought these 12 stones into the land of milk and honey, into Canaan land, signifying their passing through death and resurrection by their entering the heavenly realm, where everything was provided for them. The land was symbolic of Christ. Therefore, their entering Canaan after crossing Jordan is a type, a figure, a symbol of our experiencing the ascension through death and resurrection. Whenever we experience death and resurrection, we reach the realm of ascension.
That's right. So, realize that. Memorize that. Visualize that. When you're saved, you've also, you're in heaven immediately. You have eternal life immediately. And you must stay buried with Christ, nailed to his cross, constantly on a daily basis. And it's a fight to keep yourself, your flesh, under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's the big battle. Once you have allowed God to keep you under control, you've won the battle, because you're the most unruly thing in this universe. The human flesh is the most unruly item in the entire world. That's your big battle. Once you defeat yourself, you've defeated Satan. If you want to take a look at the devil, just look in the mirror at your flesh. And keep, the only way that you can overcome that is to be on the cross with Christ, your old man, and buried with him, and then be resurrected into a new life and ascended with Christ. So memorize that and just stay there. You know, there's so many things that I could do every day, but I know that I have to bring these messages. The Lord keeps me, my nose to the grindstone, and this is the way I stay saved, is to just constantly do it. Doesn't make any difference what kind of business is going on during the day. I know that I have to do a tape, and then I'm going to have to do other tapes as well, and I have to answer all kinds of questions that come in. I have to answer letters. I have to listen to them, and thousands of other things, and it keeps me full-time in the ministry. And so I have to read, I have to study, I have to pray, I have to find out what it is that the Lord wants me to say to you, those of you out there in radio land. And so just start practicing that. You have to just keep making yourself, disciplining yourself to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And start out, just stay in the Word, ignore the world. Well, we have to go to work. It's all right to work, just so long as it's a good, honest job. But just always keep your mind on the Lord. If you have to have earphones with the Bible on there, or these tapes, or whatever that is of the Lord, just do it. And until tomorrow, chapter 14 of Romans, and also part 10 of knowing the ascension, knowing yourself, knowing that you're there. This is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for today's broadcast. To reach Tony Alamo Christian Ministries by mail, write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, USA. To reach us by phone, call 479-782-7370, 479-782-7370. Our web address is www.alamoministries.com. Listen to Tony Alamo by going to www.wmqm1600.com. Tell a friend and keep listening. If you would like to help Tony Alamo Ministries, send all donations to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries Worldwide, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, USA.